Welcome to the weekly hotspot, kink conversation, BDSM tips and tricks, inside the world of distance domination and phone sex. We are your hosts. I'm Mistress Olivia, and I'm here with Ms. Delia. Hi, Ms. Delia.
Hi.
We were doing a two-mistress call this week, and someone said something that absolutely blew me away. He said, reading your blogs and all of the mistress blogs in the LDW group phone sex universe, he said he got the impression that people had to be in chastity for months and months. Were you kind of surprised that he said that?
I really, really was. I never really thought that, because you know, I do a lot of different kinds of chastity. So just that someone would assume it had to be for a long time, that surprised me and made me want to talk about it.
Do you think part of it is that we, as sex bloggers, we talk about things that are out of the norm or things that are interesting because they're maybe a little bit more extreme? And so we talk about the longer chastity times because it's, I don't know, more shocking, more interesting, whatever.
I think that might be a part of it. Someone who does chastity for one day, and that's a big deal for them, sometimes is not as exciting as someone who just completed a year.
Oh my God, that's exactly, that's exactly true, right? Mm-hmm. I would click on a blog post on your blog, begformistress.com. I would absolutely click on a blog post that said, he just got locked up. He was in chastity for an entire year and
right? He
gets out today. I would be like, holy shit, what's mm-hmm. that? Whereas if I wrote a blog post on my blog, experiencedmistress.com, that said he was in chastity for 24 hours and it was very intense.
Right? But you know, the truth about that is the person who just completed the year and the person who just completed one day, they've gone through exactly the same things.
Now, say more about that, because that's really the key to chastity.
Mm-hmm. Chastity is physical. Obviously, you're locked away in a cage, but there's also a psychological part to it. You have to get through the, I want to touch, but I can't touch, but I want to, but I can't kind of loop. And for some people, I think the mental part of it can almost be tougher than the physical. So you go through all of those struggles. And for some people, just doing that for one day, maybe they compulsively touch all the time, and one day is huge, as opposed to someone who is very comfortable being denied, who can last a full year. It's all relative to each person.
I think of chastity not unlike working out. For example, you're a marathon trainer, so you do running. And I remember when you started training for your first marathon, you were like, okay, I'm doing X miles today, and then I'm supposed to do X miles next week and X more miles. And a lot of your physical training really was mental, wrapping your head around, I'm going to do a whole lot of miles.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then there were just some days where I didn't want to get up at 5 a.m. to go do an 8 or 10 mile run. But it's really playing the psychological piece of it that works with training like that. And similarly, chastity is the same thing. You play that head game, I guess.
Some people enjoy that head game. And I think that head game of how it's a challenge, right? It is maybe perhaps the ultimate challenge for a man. You are giving up the very thing that makes you a man, your cock. And you are giving that over to a woman who becomes your key holder or your chastity mistress. When you give that up, wow, it's you are not doing a small thing, no matter the amount of time.
Oh, I agree. It takes something inside you, willpower, some really strong desire to serve your mistress. It takes a lot to be able to do that.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Have you ever had someone who thought that they wanted to be in chastity and thought that they wanted to do that level of submission and that level of service to a mistress, and then got into it and decided, oh, hell no, I don't want to do this. I want my dick out.
You know, maybe someone had done that. But in my experience, I deal with a lot of people who are curious about chastity and see the value in chastity. So my experiences with them are more that they even if they mess up, it's not that they want their dick out necessarily. And, you know, with this person that we did the two mistress call with, he had had a lot of struggles, like I'm alluding to, a lot of struggles with staying in chastity and kind of feeling disappointed with himself. So it's just the trick of finding what works for each person, because someone might need their dick out for a long time, but can do chastity successfully for a few days, a week, 24 hours, a shorter term kind of lockup for them. It's all about finding what makes people feel successful and submissive and like they are serving their mistress well when they are in chastity.
I really want to highlight that, because that was the thing, I think, for both of us that kind of made us go, oh no, that's not what we want at all. As you said, he felt like he was messing up. And the role of a mistress is to challenge her submissive, create challenges, and maybe the submissive messes up and gets punished, but it's playful, or even if it's strict. But at some level, the submissive has to be able to win. Whatever in the BDSM or kink relationship is defined as winning, the submissive has to be able to win, because otherwise it just feels hopeless in a non-good kinky way. Does that make any sense?
That makes so much sense. And I really think that hopeless feeling, when you see that in someone, like we saw on our two mistress call, you know, that's what you work to correct. And I think we did that successfully.
I think we absolutely did. And I loved being on the call with you, because you talked about your personal life and you talked about your own personal journey as a chastity mistress. And I think when you talk about that in your own personal relationship, and you write about it on your blog a lot, begformistress.com, you write about your own situation. I think that helps other people to look and go, oh, it's not one size fits all.
I would agree with you. I really do like sharing about myself, my own personal experiences in my home, things that I do, because a lot of time it's what has worked for me. And for those who don't know, my husband Jack, from time to time, is locked in chastity. And it's a kink that we really enjoy playing with together and that we have negotiated together. And I like to share our stories and very interesting things on my blog. In fact, even one night, we had an issue with the lock breaking. And I wrote about that experience just in case that ever happened to someone. Now, of course, that meant Jack had to trot out to the shed after midnight and grab a tool. And we were able to fix things, though. So sharing my experience, I really like to think about helping people any way that I can.
You know what? I've done blog posts about this on my blog, experiencemistress.com, that we really are sex therapists with a happy ending. Although, for Jack and for the chastity slaves in October, since it's called Locktober, there's going to be no happy ending.
Exactly.
I love hearing about you and Jack. And of course, I played with you in person. I played with you and Jack in person. I've had people call and say, wow, you're really knowledgeable about this. And they're surprised when it's not all fantasy. I'm not sure what they were expecting, like maybe some scripted scene or whatever. But I just talk to them about my own kinky life. I'm a fetish player in the face-to-face scene. And so are you.
Yes. Yes, I am. And I think that's why we get along together so well, why we do two mistress calls together so well, because we have that relatability to each other. We get it.
Well, and we can also talk about fetish events that we've gone to, equipment that we've bought, equipment that we like. I think that is especially important when it comes to a chastity cage, because you can go on Amazon.com and look and buy a chastity cage for, what's the least you've seen them, like $9, $10?
Yeah.
Oh my God, and they're awful. Like, don't do that.
I know, right? Well, let me say one thing about that. I have had a couple of people buy the mid-range $25 to say $50 chastity cages on Amazon. And they do it just because they're really nervous about trying out a device and not liking it. So they figure out what they like and what they don't like with these kind of trial chastity things, almost like they're experimenting. And so they put that little amount of money forth first. And over time, I see these people lock up in more expensive chastity devices, oftentimes ending up in, say, a mature metal, beautiful chastity device.
You bring up a really good point, and I hadn't thought of that, so I'm really glad you said that. Those less expensive ones are perfect. It's a trial. And then if the person, because this is all about the experience of being locked up, some people just physically do not like that experience. They, it's the equivalent of being claustrophobic, right? Their dick is claustrophobic. And some people like that feeling of claustrophobia and other people don't. So that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. Thank you. I learned from you.
Yay. I love that. It's kind of like I get those boxes once a month that have makeup and little trial size things. And after that, I like to go out and get just what I like, but in a full size. And I kind of think chastity trials can be like that.
That's a great way to put it.
Oh, thank you. God,
that's a great way to put it. You know what? You and I should do like trial size kink. Ooh. I mean, think about it. We could send those like a trial size magic wand, which is almost like, I don't know, like a cat toy or something that just bzz, bzz, just a tiny little buzz. Like this? If so, buy the violet wand that costs $300 and is amazing. Do you like the feel of flogging? Not sure. Here's just one strap of like silicone in a spaghetti shape.
Wow.
Right? This could be our next career. We'll do trial size kink boxes.
That's kind of funny.
Now, you know, actually, we at LTW, we do trial size kink, and that's the 10-minute cutoff phone call. When somebody calls and they're like not sure if he's going to connect with a certain mistress, but he wants to give her a try. I think it's fabulous that if the call is legitimately a very, very, very short call, like she picks up and you're like, oh, fuck, I hate her voice. I didn't know she sounded like that because I'm an idiot and didn't listen to her audios. But if he's like, oh, no, then just ask to go back to the dispatcher. You'll go back to the dispatcher and you won't be charged. But if someone wants like a little bit more of an experience, then they can call for 10 minutes. And really, in 10 minutes, you know whether or not you're going to click with that mistress or not.
Very true. Very true. Another example of the kind of trial-sized kink we have is something called pass the penis. And you could call in and speak to one mistress for 10 minutes and be passed to another mistress for 10 minutes and then be passed to another mistress for 10 minutes as many times as you want. So if you've not met someone, if you haven't really experienced someone and you're really curious and want to be passed around, pass the penis is a great kind of trying it out, trial size kink that I love.
This is a perfect time to give the phone call. So if you're listening to this audio and you're like, oh, fuck, I want to talk to Ms. Delia, or I want to talk to Ms. Olivia, or even better, I want to talk to both of them together or any of the other mistresses, dial 1-800-601-7259. That's 1-800-601-7259. Ask for the mistress of your choice or talk to the dispatcher and say, here's what I'm interested in. Can you suggest someone? And the dispatchers are great at giving suggestions. But here's the thing. If you're in chastity, don't call for pass the penis.
No, wait. I've had someone in chastity call for pass the penis,
and no, he's just how does been that work?
Well, he's been denied in different ways. We all have different denial styles, I would say. So yours is, even though we're so similar, your style is different from my style. So
that's true.
Learning about different types of denial, different things to do on our two mistress call, our caller had spent some time speaking with Mistress Erica. And after he had finished up speaking with us, he had wanted to go back over to Miss Erica to see the interesting things that she would do to him after us. So I think
and
it's,
then
it's
later on
flexibility.
That night, he actually talked to Ms. Scarlett.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has a different style. And I think all the mistresses, everyone brings a little something different to the table. And it's fun to experience all of that.
That's a really good point. And that, I want to just put an asterisk by this and highlight it and say it in bold letters. Especially when you're in chastity, you develop a really close relationship with your mistress because it is psychologically challenging and you need support and care, etc. But in general, I know you and I do, we encourage people to try the different mistresses. And if anybody wants any suggestions, I am happy to share. I say, oh, you call at such and such a time. I think you should try this particular mistress. Mm-hmm. I know her. She answers her emails. She's responsive. She gives great calls. She's not multitasking when she's on the phone with you. I think you'll like her. And I personally can vouch for her professionalism, skill, and fucking naughtiness.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love doing that. Sharing around is really, really fun. And I love to make recommendations as well. And it can really help someone who is in chastity get something different, something that they hadn't noticed before.
So a conversation without chastity. I mean, we talked about it a little bit with the kind of the starter chastity cages all the way up to mature metal. Oh my God, the mature metal Queen's Keep is my absolute favorite. Do you have a favorite in mature metal?
I think I'm torn. I often feel torn between the Jailbird or the Queen's Keep. Those two designs are just my favorite.
They should call the Jailbird, which is also spectacular, but they should say Mistress's Jail or something like that. I can't help but think that part of my joy in the Queen's Keep is saying, yes, I want you in the Queen's Keep.
Right?
It makes it very femdom-y and very like personal. I am the queen and I am keeping you. Locked up. Cock-locked.
Oh, I think that's so funny. I like that.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I talked with someone this past week who did in fact get a Queen's Keep from Mature Metal. And I noticed that the minute he said, you know, you get on the phone with someone and it's like, okay, so tell me, where are you? What are the circumstances? Are you on travel? Are you at home? Is it your day off? How long do you have? Like, you kind of get the lay of the land. And he said, I'm dressed and I'm in your Queen's Keep. And I was just like, oh, that makes me all tingly.
Right? Oh, that's the best. That is absolutely the best. So why don't we talk about a couple of examples? Short chastity, maybe an experience you've had, then medium, then long. What do you think?
Absolutely. And then let's talk about the cages that we like for each of those.
Perfect. So I have someone who is in short-term chastity, and we do an even day, odd day schedule. So on the even days, he is locked in chastity. And this can be with a device, and that would be a very simple, easy plastic device like a CB6000. And then on the odd days, he can masturbate. So that would be my example of short-term chastity, one day in, one day out.
My example is short-term or medium or even long-term. It's chastity without a cock cage.
Oh, yeah.
So this is for the person who is married or who does a lot of airport business travel. Right? You can't wear your cock cage at the airport, or I don't recommend it. Or someone who is married or in a relationship and can't wear the chastity device to bed. Chastity without a cock cage is a couple of different ways. One is to use numbing cream. So what you want to get is not like Icy Hot. You want to get cream that has lidocaine in it. And so that's like the numbing cream for your gums. There's different types, but look on the ingredients for lidocaine. And he puts that on his dick and he can get a hard on. He can feel aroused. He can feel very sexy. Then he puts on the numbing cream. He still feels incredibly aroused. But because his dick is numb, automatically, it doesn't work. So it is a very discreet way. You can carry numbing cream in your bags when you travel. No wife or girlfriend is ever going to say, why do you have numbing cream in there? You know, it's like a personal item that is okay to carry around. Let me also mention that if there's a relationship that I have done chastity with the person where their chastity time is irrespective of their time with their partner, but it's a little bit trickier to track that time. Does that make sense?
So that actually does make sense.
How do you handle that? What do you do? Because it's definitely possible. All things are possible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
So I have someone who's in kind of medium-term chastity who is absolutely in a relationship, is married. Now, with him, what we've kind of negotiated over time is that his wife plays with him a little bit. And so that's when he takes a break from kind of speaking or doing more chastity and just becomes enmeshed in what they are doing as a couple. And then other times he is completely locked up when they are not spending so much time together or one is traveling. So I try to fit chastity around their relationship schedule. And that seems to work really well because it's of my opinion that if you are married and you are exploring kink a little bit, no matter what, your wife, your relationship partner is first.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I've actually helped people on the phone have a better relationship with their wife or partner.
Me
and I know
too.
You have as well. It's like sex therapy, right?
Yes, it really is.
Sometimes they'll listen to a mistress who says, dude, you're acting like a fucking asshole. Mistress says you better behave. And he's like, oh, mistress, okay. Mm-hmm. And he'll call back later and he'll say, oh, you know, my relationship is a whole lot better now. Thank you.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So long-term chastity. I think doing distance domination, sometimes it's hard for us to check and see how truthful their comments are. But we also have people that we know that they're telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Give an example of someone in long-term chastity for you. What is the cage? Ooh. And how do you know they're telling the truth? And does it matter?
That's such a good question. Oh, so for long term, I think the best example I could give is someone who has been doing chastity for years. And with this person, this is so funny. He has a couple of different cages, and right now, just kind of on the spot, I don't remember what they are because it's been so long that we've been doing this, we just refer to these things as the cage. But every year, I know, right? But every year, and this just happened after my birthday in September, for October, I gave him a new schedule for the year. And that includes his time out of chastity, the days throughout the year that he can orgasm. Yes, his birthday is included, holidays too. But I think for him, there were only maybe 6 to 8 orgasms allowed for the year. And so with that schedule, even between our calls, when we get a chance to speak and when we don't, he has a complete program that will take him through September of 2020.
I also want to highlight that you are friggin' brilliant about making schedules, and you post some of this on your blog, begformistress.com. Obviously, the personal schedules are personal to the person that's your chastity slave, but you are just fucking brilliant about making schedules and keeping track of that kind of stuff. I have learned a lot about how to do that and the value of setting expectations. So let's say his next orgasm is Christmas, right? Well, he mm-hmm. knows, okay, I really want to come in late November. But wait a minute, mistress is going to be so pleased, and I do get an authorized orgasm on this particular date. And it allows him to keep going and be successful.
Right. Exactly. And it's that different kind of a, I think, mental preparation. You can prepare yourself to not touch your cock for one night, for 24 hours, for a week, for a month, or even for a full year. And that takes a different kind of, obviously, mental preparation.
Absolutely, it does. So if he's cock-locked and he's not having the traditional male orgasm, you and I both do prostate milking. I've got someone in long-term chastity right now who we do prostate milking every couple of weeks. It kind of goes in cycles. Sometimes it's a lot and often, and then other times, longer times and no. But prostate milking is a fabulous way to keep the sexual arousal, the sexual focus, the sexual energy going, and kind of literally drain off just a little bit. You like prostate milking too as well, right?
I really do, especially for that reason. An interesting thing though, I have spoken to people in chastity who no longer have a prostate, so they cannot do prostate milking. And when you have chastity with that, right, where you wouldn't do the typical kinds of things, do the milking, do the touching, you need some kind of other outlet. And what I have enjoyed doing with men maybe who cannot do some kind of milking or for some reason can't do anal in any way, when you are in chastity and you don't have that sensation of touching your cock, you can maybe stroke your nipples or find a place right there on your inner upper thigh that feels so good. You can transfer those lusty sexual feelings into another part of your body. So it's very interesting playing with a person's body while they are in chastity. And just like with prostate milking, other body part touching can provide a distraction, something to explore, something to really keep your headspace in check.
That is a fabulous point. And to get this level of experience or care, you need someone who really knows what they're doing. Ms. Delia knows what she's doing. Her blog is begformistress.com. I'm Ms. Olivia. My blog is experiencemistress.com. Ms. Delia, thanks for dropping all the info. It's thrilling to be back with you on the hotspot.
Thank you. Thank you. I love doing the weekly hotspot with you.
And thanks to all of you for joining us on the weekly hotspot. Leave a comment. Check us out on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information on our blogs. And remember, if you want private lessons, scenes, or more, you can call either of us at 1-800-601-7259. It's $2.75 a minute with a 10-minute minimum. And we can talk and play and more. Check out all the episodes on theweeklyhotspot.com. We will see you next time. Bye, Delia.
Bye.